What is going on, everybody? This is Roster of the Burbank Misfits. And of course, as always, I'm joined with my wonderful, brilliant co-host, CW. And honestly, you normally go straight into the guests, but we actually heard some bad news today. So I wanted to give a big, we talk about him a lot on the show. We never had him on, but I do want to say a big rest in peace to Jake Adams, who tragically lost his life yesterday. This recording is on Thursday, the 15th of July. He tragically lost his life yesterday. So I wanted to give a big rest in peace out to him. He was an amazing, amazing friend, person, and everything like that. And I am deeply saddened to hear the news. So I wanted to make sure that I did mention that. And, big prayers to his family and all everybody who's known him over the years, because he's always been a great person to me and to everybody who I know has been around him. So
Yeah, and there's a
it's
GoFundMe out right now on Twitter for his funeral expenses.
yeah. So I actually just that's what I was doing right before you got on. I was going into
Okay.
that like right then. That's what I was telling CW right before you came on. I was going through a fundraiser. So
Yeah.
if you hear this, every little bit counts. I just posted it on my Twitter also. So right and literally right now they're about halfway there to the goal, but you don't know what may come up. But anyway, I just wanted to make sure I said that, and we'll miss you, Jake. But without further ado, our guest for today is a brand new talent to the actual industry. And like she's like from the conversations I've had with her thus far in the small time that I've known her, has been very fun and exciting, and she's just really bubbly, and I love that.
Thank
So
you.
without further ado, Miss Ginger McKay, how you doing? How
I'm
you doing?
good. I'm good. Things have been absolutely great. It's been kind of a whirlwind since I started doing pro stuff.
So for those that, like, well, for the many of you out there who don't know you just yet, who is Ginger McKay?
So I have always been a big time exhibitionist. Didn't really know why. In college, I knew I was into that kind of stuff. I just didn't know the name for it. And met my current boyfriend around 2015, and he had been in a swinger lifestyle for a long, long time, had a boudoir business. So we messed around with taking lots of photos and things, and we would perform at the swinger parties and stuff and get real crazy and have crowds of people. And I just like lived off that energy, right? Like riding that high from all the people watching me. And at one point we were like, okay, we're already posting this stuff online. Why don't we make money off of it? And I'm like, oh yeah, why don't we do that? Right? Like that sounds like a great idea. So we transitioned to IndieBill and OnlyFans at that point, and things just kept on building. I got over 1 million views on Pornhub, and I think I like cried the day I found out because I was so excited. It
Wow.
was wonderful. So I had started to talk to an agency last year, and they were going to fly me out to Florida and Vegas and LA to meet some people, and then COVID hit. So that had to get put off. So it wasn't until this year that I filmed my first pro scene, and it was actually with Jake.
Yeah, I know you were telling me that when we met, and I see a lot of people who are saying that their first things were was with him. And I'm like, oh.
I know. Everybody keeps saying he was just so welcoming to new people in the industry. And honestly, he really was. I mean, from the day of the shoot, like he's like, oh, I'm having this party. You should come. You know, all of us are going out to dinner. You should come and meet some people. And he was like contacting studios and producers and trying to help me get more bookings. Like I didn't ask him for any of this. He was just like going out of his way to be nice. And
I don't want to make you cry.
It's okay. I've cried so much today. It's okay.
Yeah, it was literally the first, like literally the first thing I read when I woke up. So, and then I seen your message, and I'm like,
So
it was so early.
So, but yeah, that's great that like I've never heard anybody say Emmyville.
Okay.
I've never heard that site before.
Yeah.
So like, have you shot more than just that one scene so far, or have you had?
Well, like in the pro space or in general?
In the pro space.
Yeah, that is the only pro video I've done so far.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So wow, that's, well, take this back. So what is your goals? Like what do you want out of this industry?
So it's kind of twofold. So one, the thrill of doing this and my kink for exhibitionism is a huge part of it. I really enjoy it. And two, I grew up battling disability. So I have an incurable nerve disease called chronic regional pain syndrome. So basically my right foot feels like it's on fire all the time. It's okay. I used to be in a wheelchair all the time because of it. I was on opioids for a long time, saw a bunch of different doctors, got surgeries. It was a very long struggle. And now, thanks to a spinal cord stimulator, I can walk. So things have improved a lot. But growing up watching porn, there were absolutely zero bodies that looked like mine. Nobody was ever in a wheelchair, ever at all. Even like small accommodations during sex, you know, for like pillows behind your back or things like that, you would not see that. And it made me feel absolutely unwanted and unattractive, right? So it took me a long time to not only accept my own body, but realize that just because I was in a chair, it didn't mean that I couldn't also be sexy and make sexy content. So I wanted to put myself out there and talk about my disability as much as possible in this, so that what I went through doesn't have to be what other disabled girls go through.
That's,
wow.
That's profound. Wow. Yeah, like I know, I agree with you. Like you don't see people, you know, with disabilities that much in the industry, like especially being in a wheelchair. And like it does causes a where I'm looking for here, CW, a false narrative about what is sexy and what isn't sexy, whatever. And I can see how that can dwell on you because, you know, you want to be out there, you want to be having fun, but the image of what is sexy isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have a nerve disability too. So
okay.
I understand from that aspect, but we have different ones. I have a neurofibromatosis.
Okay.
It just makes tumors grow in the nerve.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, but I can't. Well, I'm glad you are. You know, I'm not saying doing better. You are more mobile now. You can walk around without, you know, the use without the use of a wheelchair and stuff like
that. Yeah, I still have some bad days. It's not 100% for sure, but I'm so much better than I used to be. I mean, I used to not be able to go through a grocery store, and I walked 6 miles the other week. Like, huge difference. It's incredible. So thank God for physical therapy and naltrexone. Those things have saved my life.
You said trexone?
Naltrexone.
Okay. I mean, you know, honestly
a long way.
No, because like I'm just thinking, like, one, she's come a long way, and two, like since she's brand new, people don't know her just yet, like as in the porn side of stuff. They know her from our OnlyFans and from Indieville. Indieville, yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
Indieville, whatever. But like, on the porn sites that they don't know this side of her or whatever. And like, she can like low key be like that inspiration to others to say, I can be sexy. I can look good, and I can do whatever the fudge I want in this industry if I want to get into it. I can be an expeditionist. I can get around, you know? And I didn't know that about you, but like that's amazing. I really commend you for your hard work.
Thank you.
And dedication to, you know, not just settle for not being defeated and going after what you want to do, you know. Even though it's not 100% right now, you know, you've done a lot to achieve your goal.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, nobody gives you permission, right? Like, all this societal stuff, like, it's not always blatant, like, in your face, you know, like, people saying, well, you know, you have problems, you can't wear high heels, well, then we're not going to shoot you. It all gets in your head and makes you feel like you can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess seeing other people who have been in my situation go ahead and be like, screw this, I'm doing it anyway, kind of let me give myself permission to do it. There's this guy, Andrew Gerza, who is absolutely amazing, who hosts this podcast called Disability After Dark. And it's all about the intersectionality between disability and sex. And he's absolutely incredible and doing amazing things for the disabled community. And he films a porn scene, I think 2 years ago now, where he's in his wheelchair. And it was huge for me. I was like, oh my God, like I can do this. Like,
you know, I've never heard of him, but that's...
Yeah, you need to look him up. He's wonderful.
Okay. I've never seen... I don't think I've ever seen someone in a wheelchair doing an adult scene.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to think. I'm like this. I've never seen one where the person was really in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Other ones, like, they were in a wheelchair and they got out of the wheelchair... You right know, and it was it was a prop, but I'm just thinking of like trying to process all this because
I know it's a lot.
no because it's really profound, because like I would have never, like, just seeing you at the party I met you at, whatever, I never would have guessed that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize it. And that's another side of the equation that often gets forgotten, that every disability is not visible. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten yelled at in parking lots because I have a placard, so I don't have to walk as far. People are like, you're not disabled, you don't need to park there, and yell at me. I've been pulled over by a cop because I didn't look disabled enough. Like, it's ridiculous.
Damn.
As my health did my tilt, whatever, like something before my limp started, whatever, you wouldn't be able to notice. And now that it's there, it's noticeable. But like, you know, people always want to judge people without knowing what's really going on.
Yeah.
Crazy. Ridiculous.
Yeah. And my patience is low for it now. Like, I went to a bar with my boyfriend recently, and there was this guy in the parking lot, and he was just standing there staring at us. And I was like, what? Okay, this is creepy. What the hell do you want? And he's like, are you sure you can park in that space? And I was like, oh, hell no. My boyfriend was like, calm down. I was like, no, I'm not going to calm down today. I was like, do you have a family history of breast cancer? Do you have problems ejaculating? Is it really rude for me to ask you very personal questions about your health that are none of my business? Like, he's just like, oh God. I'm like, not today.
he just wasn't in the mood.
Yeah, no. He left after that.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people are just like, I can understand like why people might think whatever, but it's different between thinking it and saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for sure.
Because you never know what's internal in somebody, you know, and people just forget that and they just spout off the mouth without, you know, evaluating the situation.
Right. Yeah.
So, but not to trickle too far. So what is your long-term plans in this industry? Like what, where do you want this road to lead, Ms. Ginger?
Well, I really want to keep on meeting people, making all kinds of content and displaying my disability a lot more front and center. And hopefully at some point talking about education on sex, because growing up in Texas, that was not something really any of us had. You know, I want to make a positive difference for people and kind of use my sexual experience and awakening to help people not have to go through trauma that me and other people I know have been through.
Okay. That is probably one of the most purest answers that we've had so far on this podcast. Like, literally. Wow. Honestly, I feel that I'm going to send you someone's name after the podcast. And okay. I feel that they'll be a good person for you to know just because of what you're doing, what you plan on doing. And I just feel that even if just, you know, y'all don't even connect, it's just good to, you know, have crossed paths with this person. Right. Because they do a lot with performers and stuff like that. And, you know, it just, you know, a good person to know.
Yeah. But
on a side note, since you are brand new and you've only have one pro shoot under your belt, who are the top five performers that you Ooh. May want to work with?
Okay, man, this might be hard.
you can think about it. Take a second. Like, it could be any or any. It doesn't matter. You know, guys, girls, TS. It could be whatever you want.
I mean, let's see. Well, Gia Page is my absolute dream girl, so definitely her.
I actually spoke to her.
That would be fabulous. I love Elsa Jean. I love Mia Malkova. I don't really know a lot of the male talent as well.
Yeah, their names just fall under the waistline.
Yeah. But I think those are the main three that I would absolutely love to shoot with.
Okay. Yeah, Gia is really, really, really amazing.
Yeah,
I play video games with her sometimes. So,
yeah, I joined one of her live streams one night and we told each other ghost stories and it was the best.
On
OnlyFans.
Okay, I was confused. Okay, I was saying I was confused. Like, wait a minute, I said I play video games. She said live stream. I'm like, Gia streaming again on Twitch? Did I miss something?
I don't think so. Yeah.
No, she streams on Twitch.
Oh, okay.
Plays video games. That's, gotcha. You know, what I done with her.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's a good list. I mean, like, I believe that, you know, you can achieve that. So you haven't signed with anybody yet because of the pandemic, right? Okay. I don't want to disturb that because I know you're coming back out here tomorrow.
Actually. Yeah, I'll be in LA tomorrow. That's right.
So do you have anything lined up or are you just out here doing customs, meet people or networking?
I do. I have three content trades lined up and then three more shoots.
Oh, shoot. You're doing a lot.
It's going to be a busy weekend.
I only seen you here for like 3-4 days.
Yep.
You're doing
fit in as much as possible.
I mean, you got, wow, that's like every day. Jesus Christ.
Is that not normal?
No, it is, but like, that's just like six. Woo.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm going to be very tired.
I'm tired for you already.
Yeah, and then in August, I'm going to Phoenix for a few days to shoot a blow bang and a glory hole scene, and then I'm going to have a 100 guy Gokin scene at the end of August. I know it's a lot. Oh, yeah. And also, my boyfriend is planning a gangbang for me on August 21st.
He's going to do it out there. He said, I'm doing a gangbang.
Yeah, he like peeked in. He was like, don't forget.
No, I see him like walking back and forth in the background every now and then. Like, it's a mirror right there. So you see him just.
Yeah, you can kind of see him out there. Yeah, he's on a work call.
Wow, you're doing a lot.
Yeah,
I really want everybody to, you know, everybody out there, since she's brand new, that means everything that you see her come out with, like from here on out, is like brand new. If you want to get on a bandwagon early to say, oh, I've been a fan of hers ever since she went pro.
Mm-hmm.
It's your time to go ahead and, jump on her everything, her OnlyFans, her Twitter, her IG,
all those things.
Jump on all those and then say, yeah, I've been a fan.
I've been a fan
since she was still deciding.
Yep. Yeah, I've had some people who've stuck around since before I was showing my face in photos. Like, that was forever ago. That was like 5 years ago now, and they're still there.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And this is something I asked my friend who for so long didn't show her face on cameras. What was the deciding factor to show your face?
So
not saying you got a bad, like you have a very beautiful face. I'm not saying I don't want to see your face. Like what was the deciding factor that when you say okay?
Well, originally I was just doing this on the side for extra money. And I was in marketing for a very long time. And I was the only woman at my company. So I had to be extra careful because it was a huge boys club. And if they could have gotten rid of me, they would have. And there's a whole drama behind that. But most of our clients were 60 plus, very religious Texans. So if they found out that I did something like this, the whole company would be basically destroyed. So I had to be super, super careful until one day I realized that I hated that company and didn't want to work there anymore and fuck it. So I realized that's not what I was wanting to do with my life. And amidst COVID, I was working for another marketing company and nobody was masking, nobody was doing anything they were supposed to be doing. And with my CRPS, I also have some immune issues. So I was especially going to be affected if I got it. And I was upset. So I talked to the manager about it. And it's like, okay, we need to be masking. We need to be social distancing. And we're not doing any of those things. And I don't appreciate the lack of respect, right? And they were like, well, everyone needs to come back in the office next week. And we're not wearing masks. And I'm like, this isn't happening. Here is what's happening. I am giving you my 2 weeks notice and I'm working from home for the next 2 weeks, or you can fire me right now. So they fired me.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm just going for it. Like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it.
Well, I'm sorry you had to, you know, it was a force. It was kind of a force of a hand, but.
Kind of, but I'm grateful for it.
I'm glad you're here though.
Yeah, me too. I think it was the right move for sure.
I mean, like, there's one thing from what I understand with people out there who are on OnlyFans or stuff like that and subscribe to people who don't show their face. Like, that is one of the things that get them off the most because they have a face to put with the body. But it's kind of sad that, like, I know other companies right now out there who for the longest didn't wear masks, even during the entire, like it was a mandatory for everybody to wear masks. They still was not wearing them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, don't you know COVID, like it's real.
People are dead. Like, yeah.
And they just try to say, well, we had the same amount of deaths last, like 2 years ago that we had last year. And I'm like, Oh, never mind. I'm not going.
Yeah.
It was just very frustrating to see how certain people are, and they don't understand that the mask isn't just for them. It's for other people around them.
Right. Yep.
And they just don't give two flying freaks, you know?
Yup. Yeah, it is frustrating, but there's not much you can do about it other than just walk away, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was just very irritated all last year from looking at people. And the fact that, like, even the podcast, like, I see CW all the time, whatever, but, like, we switched from doing it in person to doing it on here because of COVID, you know?
I mean,
like, we still have the facility where we recorded at. We can still meet in person and do stuff like that. But we rather have everybody, you know, like, safe. And what's the other one I'm looking for here? Comfortable. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just doing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, I'm glad that person was a-hole because that means you're here.
Exactly. Yeah, it put me where I really honestly wanted to be in the end. And ever since, I'm just like, oh my God, this was the best decision I have ever made. I'm so happy all the time. It's just great.
You seem genuinely happy the entire time I saw you. The entire day I met you. So it was like, okay. And that's when I found out you were new. I'm like, oh yeah, she's gonna be a lot of fun in the industry as things slowly, you know, open back up and there's more stuff to do.
Yeah.
Because I always say, like, the industry is an oyster. It's so much stuff that you could do and so much more stuff that will open up. And with some of the award shows coming back in person, like, that's a big opportunity to meet people and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And that's honestly why I went to that party in the first place. There is this guy who's been helping me get bookings. His name's Thomas, and he had contacted me on Sexy Jobs and started helping me figure out which of the inquiries were legit and which were not. And I was like, hey, Jake invited me to this party. Should I go? Is this like a good networking thing? Or will everyone be so drunk they won't remember who I am? And he was like, no, go meet all those people.
It depends on what time you arrive. You arrive
yeah, that's fair. So, I was there right around 2:30.
Yeah, like, I don't think I arrived there until about 4.
5. Okay.
And that's only because I was doing, I had other stuff to do. But, like, yeah, like, the earlier you were there, but the thing is, the only difference between going now and a few years ago is that a few years ago, it was more performers there than civilians. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, whatever, but, like, I just know people were still, you know, COVID aware.
Yeah.
The awards was coming back. I know, because I work with Urban X Awards sometimes. So that one's coming back. XRCO and AVN. I've never been to AVNs, but AVNs coming back. And then you have the XBiz one. So.
Okay.
Yeah, like, even if you're just, that's why I tell everybody who's new. Like, even if you're just attending, it is a very good opportunity just to meet random humans. Because, like, there's a few people I've met when they first started off who are doing big things now. And there's others who, like, I didn't know who they were. And they were already, you know, established and stuff like that. So you never know who you'll, like, you know, you'd run into, you know?
Right, yeah. That's absolutely true. Yeah, just the other day I was talking to a photographer, and I should probably preface with this. I'm polyamorous, so I have three partners. Mm-hmm. So I was with my girlfriend getting my hair done, And this photographer was texting me trying to figure out a shooting schedule. And she looked at the message and she was like, oh, I know that guy. It was like really small world.
That's why I always try to, you know, make sure that I introduce myself to everybody just so I know who's who. Because like that one little interaction, like you could meet like this random person named Bob, and Bob knows everybody and can get you into everything, but they might have like 10 Twitter followers, whatever, but they know and can get you in contact with everybody. So you never know who's who, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody would, you know, how everybody would judge people by this or that, you know, and you never know. That's why I love to go to these events. I love meeting people. I love interacting with humans. And then I go back home and I go back into my my shell and I recharge my social batteries.
Yes.
at heart, I am an introvert, but when I go out, I am the most extroverted person you know.
Yes, I'm the exact same way. I'm super shy usually. And well, at the party, I wasn't. Let's just say that. my boyfriend was proud of me.
I have pictures to prove it.
There's so many pictures and videos.
There's I think one of the pictures that I sent you, somebody was to the left of me recording it the entire time.
Yeah, and there was a drone at some point. I don't know whose that was.
Okay, I don't remember a drone.
Yeah, there was a drone over the pool.
Yeah, there was a drone.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't outside that much, though. I was always running around.
That's fair.
Because I know CW was always running around. He's not on camera. I don't know why not, but that's him. Like, you see my background picture. That's him right there. But, I was always running around inside. CW was outside the entire time. So
gotcha.
I didn't see a drone. But regardless of the fights, because that was the first time that happened there when I was there. It was very tame compared to the previous years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tame.
All right.
just imagine how it used to be. But they were always very fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a super fun day.
So, how did you come to poly? I can't say that word. Like, so how did you
polyamory?
How do you get into that? Like,
so my boyfriend, who is also my dom, I met him in the swinging lifestyle back in 2015, and at the time he was married to two women. He is no longer married to them. They divorced, but we stayed together, and met our girlfriend Belle about 2 years ago on OkCupid, and everybody just clicked really, really well. She had taught rope and shibari all over the US, and my boyfriend was big into rope, big into BDSM and kink, and so they immediately bonded over that. And I met her and we just clicked instantly, and she brought her husband over one night, and now I'm dating him, and it's just like this perfect little quad of people. And lovely. Cool. You know, everybody's just so supportive to each other. It's like a normal relationship, but there's four of us and we're there for each other, and we help each other with work. You know, they pick me up from the airport. Like, they're just great people.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They actually, my boyfriend, Mike, was the one at the party. I think you met him.
I would have to see his face. I'm not gonna. He's not industry, so I'm not gonna put that out there if he's not industry. But I would have to see his face to remember, because I've met so many people, and it might take a second. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it's good, and we have to be careful, you know, because a lot of people still aren't on board with non-monogamy. So, you know, like my parents don't know, but what's going to happen?
At the end of the day, you know, as long as you aren't hurting anybody, should it really matter?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we live, we have sex, and then we die. You know, that's life.
Yeah. And yeah, just do what you want, basically. Live your life.
Some people might get it more than others, but that's all we do. We're here to breed and die.
That sounds very nihilistic.
I mean, think about it. Like, am I wrong though?
No, you're not.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so you know, this is long as
but if you're not doing that, then by that kind of logic, what's the point?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. That's why I said it's gotta be more than that.
I'm saying we're here for that. I'm not saying that's the only thing that we do while we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're put on this earth to populate and die, but and then everything in the middle of that is, you know, extra.
Okay.
Extra, okay. Like me leaving this podcast, going to Jack in the Box, isn't a part of my grand scheme. It's just something.
You never know. Something could happen.
I'm not living my purpose. I don't have any children.
But you're doing this stuff that is necessary in order to have it.
I mean, it's pretty easy to have them.
Yeah, you have it. Well, yeah, but you know, you don't want to have it with anybody.
I thought I was here to help people, but okay.
I mean, you are.
I guess I better get to reading.
you're helping people is your extra.
That's
your purpose.
That's the purpose.
No, that's your purpose. I said
children. Extra.
W. I'm not saying that people don't have purposes to do certain things. I'm saying that we're put on this earth to do this. And then everything else is just extra. So your purpose is to help others, you know?
Yeah, what I'm saying is I don't think I'm just put on this earth to like breed. I thought I was put on this earth to help people.
I mean, I help
breeding people. Is extra.
I mean, like, I help people all the time.
I guess,
but...
you know, we can disagree.
I help people all the time, but, you know, I still think I need to breed it before I die, at least. So,
okay, so that's your life's purpose.
Well, I'm just. It's just my viewpoint, CW.
Oh, okay.
We bench it like this all the time, so don't worry about it. I've known him probably longer than you. I'm not gonna say your age, but I probably know him longer than you've been alive.
That's wow.
I mean, I don't care. I'm 30.
No, you're not.
Boom.
I am. Yes, I was born in 90.
No, you're not.
Wow.
Everybody thinks I'm like 19.
No, you're not.
I am.
Hey, she's tay.
No, she is not. I don't honestly. Everybody,
she's playing it.
I don't believe her.
I will show you my driver's license.
I believe she is lying about her age right now.
Usually it's the other way around, but
I'm just trying to make me feel good, but I don't see 30 in you.
Thank you.
Honestly, at most, I thought you were 22.
Okay, well, I like that.
No, I've known CW since about 2000. But we became friends more so about 2003. So,
okay.
But like, I don't see 30. No, I don't. Because
I know, honestly, it surprises everybody.
Because like honestly, like that, like your current age is what they put under the MILF category. And
yeah, I know.
I no, I don't see that.
I don't. When they called me and they were like, "Yeah, you're shooting with hot MILF Spuck," I was like, "What? What? I'm already a MILF?"
Oh, you're what? You're 26 or higher. You're a MILF.
I guess.
Yeah, once you hit 26, you're a MILF.
It's the end. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it's, don't get me wrong, it's sad because 26 is a MILF. I mean, like, 26 is just over a fourth of 100. And it's like, how?
You know, I know.
I can see if, you know, 32, 33 is MILF, yeah. But like they see it as, you know, 26, you married an old husband, and you're his trophy wife, and mm-hmm. now you're sleeping with her, with his son or daughter,
yeah,
or his children.
Ugh.
yeah that's what it is, like, you know, the whole entire stepchild situation.
Yeah. And I've met several people that have actually done that in real life. Like, I went to a swinger club once and this lady was there with her stepson. And I was like, are you sure? Like, I don't know if this is a good idea. This seems like this might be drama, but okay.
I mean, like, I can see it like happening for real, but it's like, you know, it should only happen in acting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's taking advantage of someone who doesn't have, I mean, it's a power structure, right?
Yeah.
Like, the parent is always going to have power over the child, whether it's a stepchild or their own child. So I mm-hmm. feel like that's, to me, that's taking advantage. I don't know.
I mean, it is, because like, there's, yeah. A movie just popped in my brain. I'm trying to think of the name of it. And yeah. Wow. Like, I don't see that's going to bother me, y'all. I'm sorry. Because I don't see 30 anywhere there.
Well, thank you.
I don't. I'm sorry, CW. It's,
yeah. That, I'm a 90s baby. I promise.
Yeah, I was born. Yeah. I'm about like 8 years older than you, so.
Okay.
Yes, I'm old. So.
Yeah, well, we all feel old. Don't worry. I was like 21 and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel great. Like, other than the wheelchair situation, like, my body's at the best it could have ever been, you know, and I can stay up all night and I feel energetic. And then like 25 hit and I was like, oh crap. Now I have back pain.
Yeah, like my ailments started occurring really bad when I was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, it happens sooner than you think.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, my body just said, you know what? F you, Raw.
Mm-hmm.
F this, F that. I don't curse, I'm saying F. But freak you on every aspect.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, I was already a part of the industry before that.
Yeah.
You know, from my whatever. So it was just everybody who is joining now is seeing me now compared to everybody who knew me before, mm-hmm. who's seen me, like, you know, running, jumping, and, you know, everything else. So,
right.
The dynamic. So, so outside of the industry, what do you do for fun? Like, what's the fun side of Ginger that's, you know, not, you know, penetration?
That is one of the most fun sides. It is. So I get kind of nerdy about horror movies.
Okay.
I absolutely love them. So this tattoo is from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1970s alien film.
Okay.
That was what my college thesis was on. I got to talk to Robin Means Coleman and Nana Reeve Du about their work in the horror industry and the portrayal of race in horror films throughout the 2000s, and that was really amazing and eye-opening. In half the big box office horror films that came out during those years, there weren't any non-white characters at all, like even extras. Like, it was insane. So that was interesting. So I definitely enjoy delving into the horror industry, especially how it relates to race, which is why I have followed Jordan Peele very closely. I don't know if you've seen Get Out at all.
I've definitely seen Get Out.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Oh my God.
I haven't seen Us.
Okay.
I've seen
I had really high expectations for Us because of Get Out. And I was like, maybe I'm setting the bar too high. I don't know, but it was really good.
Okay. Yeah, that's one, like, I just haven't had the opportunity to sit back and watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to his Candyman remake.
Yes, it's going to be so good.
And just as a fan, a big fan of Candyman growing up,
mm-hmm.
and someone who believes that outside of Tales from the Hood 3, that mm-hmm. Tony Todd could do no wrong. Tales from the Hood 3 was just horrible.
Might be disappointed.
Huh?
You might just be disappointed. Have you seen the trailer?
I've seen it. It looks kind of good to me, at least.
I'll wait and see before I pass judgment.
Yeah, because there's some movies that I pass judgment on from the trailer. And the movie turned out to be so good.
Yeah.
But then you get that opposite effect of the trailer looking so good. And it's like the last 10 minutes of the entire movie. And mm-hmm. that's it. And it's like, oh, the rest of this movie was booty.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, you know, I enjoy horror. It's not the genre that I usually run into, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that, like, you know, like most of the time I just want to sit back and relax. I don't want to be scared.
It's the excitement for me. Like, I can experience the feeling of being afraid in a totally safe environment. So I guess in that way I'm a wuss. I don't know. But it's fun, like, going beyond the bounds of, like, typical movies where it's like, okay, guy falls in love with girl, they're happy at the end. Like, a lot of times horror movies aren't as predictable. Like, you don't know if what's happening is, like, a ghost or, like, something weird in the house or, like, something else completely different that you'll never see coming. And it makes me think. And it's just fun.
I think a lot of the stuff I watch are, like, feel-good stuff. You know, something that makes you, like, feel good after you watch it.
Like Hallmark movies?
Not that cheesy, but yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel a lot of horror movies are super cheesy. And yeah, I believe the last horror movie that I watched, I only watched it because a friend of mine who went to college with me was in it. And that's the only reason, and that was the only reason I watched it.
What was it?
Shoot. I don't know. I just know...
Last thing I watched, Tentacles.
Tentacles.
That just sounds like a bad
point. Yeah, it does. That's the first thing I thought of.
It's about this this guy meets this new girl and there's something strange about her. And well, I guess she's kind of just made of tentacles.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Or an opportunity, depending on who you are as a person.
I mean, it's a kind of freaky, like, is the guy just kind of going crazy or mm-hmm. something off, something's
yeah, but you do like mean? You do watch a lot of stuff like that though.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Midsommar?
Yes.
Oh my God. Everything Studio A24 does is incredible.
Yeah, I was like,
did you see that?
It's called A Dinner for Two.
Okay.
Oh, I think I heard of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Midsommar. Oh, man. Any of his movies. Have you ever seen The Strange Thing About the Johnsons?
No, hey. I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah, so it's the short made by the director of Midsommar before he did Hereditary and everything.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
Oh, it's a disturbing
I'm down for Disturbing. I mean, I've seen all of the August Underground films, so I'm fine.
When I first saw the screen things about the Johnsons, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
That's fair. I watched a Serbian film recently. I was not ready for that.
Ooh. I don't know if I'll ever be ready to. I watched so many videos about it, watching it.
It's traumatic. And my boyfriend and I tried to have sex during it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It was like a challenge, and it was a failure.
It's just certain, just like, no, I can't do it. Like,
yeah, I can't do it. I can't.
Horror films, sci-fi films, different horror films, but when it's some like kind of like, this could be happening somewhere. I mean, it's very extreme.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those things where it's like the whole premise of it is edgelordy. It's just like, this is shocking. This is the only thing we have to market about it. It's just shocking. You know, which gets old.
I mean, yeah. It has to have some type of grit to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I was trying to show this. Basically, she's having sex with Tentacle Monster, and then she gets bored because he has to put condoms on every one of his tentacles.
I love it. Yeah, that would be wild, huh?
The weird stuff that I see on the weird stuff that I see on Facebook.
That's okay. I see weird stuff all the time. Although my Facebook is pretty tame, honestly. I own another business in the vanilla world, so.
Yeah, I do too. So I basically keep, I don't use my real name anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like people who know my real name, like my real first name, I don't use it anywhere outside of signing documents. So I use Raw Star for stuff here, even though it was not the name I used when I first started doing stuff in the industry. So I've been using this name, Raw Star, since middle school. It's a real nickname. And then people heard the name I used when I first started doing stuff in the industry stuff. And they was like, nope, we're going to call you your nickname. And I'm like, okay.
All
right. So it was just blatantly ignored.
Yeah.
Blatantly ignored.
All right.
Because I when I first did anything in the industry, I wrote Mr. the letter X, the letter T, the letter C.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, ecstasy, it's easy. And like people said, nope, we've heard someone call you Raw Star.
This is what it is now.
That's what it is. So I mean, it's cool because I answer to it anyway, and it's easier for me to, I would answer to this name before I answered my real name anyway. But
I don't, and then
because I do stuff, it's listed as my real name, Raw Star, my last name, and that's everywhere. I don't even use that name anywhere, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I honestly, I'm starting to answer way more to Ginger than my real name.
It's just, some. I know for some newer people, it is harder to remember that you come
again. Yeah.
It's like, I remember one of my friends, we were hanging out, and I'm like, we're sitting next to each other, but they're on their phone doing something. And I said their name, like their stage name, because we're amongst humans. And I'm like, and they're just in the zone. I'm like, I kept repeating it. And then I said, they're real. I'm like, what? I'm like, I said, I didn't say your stage name like 10 times. She said, you know what? I didn't even know you were talking to me.
Well, we've had some practice because I've been doing amateur work since like 2016. Okay. So my boyfriend will just call me that in videos. So I guess I've gotten used to it.
Getting used to it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And so, all of the stuff on my OnlyFans has been shot by my boyfriend. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, no, because what can they expect from your OnlyFans?
Well, coming up, there is a Friends and Fans gangbang for August 21st, and that is being put together by the lovely Texas Slut Slammers. So I don't know if you're familiar with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he helps girls set up gangbangs and will get the hotel, and he has a pool of men that he pulls from, and he'll show the girl and they'll pick who they like and go through consent things, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he just like handles it all for you. So you don't have to do the vetting or the testing or any of that. He does it all and then it's just like, show up. And it's great. He's wonderful. He takes like all the stress out of gangbang. Cause if you've ever planned a gangbang, you know, like, oh my God, it is a lot of work. And finding guys that are actually really down to show up and do what they're supposed to do is really difficult. Yeah. The moment you mention testing, they're like, goodbye.
Well, testing, and like, there's some, like, if you're recording it, it's some dudes who can't stay erect.
Yeah.
Amongst
other guys,
like four or five other dudes just sitting there like this, you know, doing what they got to do to stay hard, mm-hmm. whatever, like either they have to jerk it, whatever, to stay hard, or do right. whatever they got to do to stay hard. And a lot of dudes can't, you know, they feel uncomfortable, like, you know, in that situation, because it's yes. different. It's different between, you know, having a three-way when it's two dudes and one girl, whatever, because like, you're always, you know, in a hole in that situation.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
So like, you don't have to, you know, just stand around and wait your turn.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there's that. And we like to do a lot of group events because we're swingers. And I do a lot of heavy degradation play. So we do like golden showers kind of things, name calling. We'll do cuck queen stuff, which is my absolute favorite, which is the female version of cucking. So we'll invite our girlfriend over and she'll be fucking him and I'll be tied up in the corner, not allowed to touch myself while they're talking about how much tighter she is or how much bigger her tits are. And it's just fabulous.
You know, I will say this, two things. One, when it comes to
degradation.
Thank you. That word right there. I didn't know it was such a big market for it until like mm-hmm. like 3-4 years ago. Okay. Because like because I edit stuff for people sometimes, and like they had me edit a small penis simulation one, and like in my mind I'm like, who, like, and she was telling me how much they sell, and like I'm like, who would want this? Because I feel like, you know, even though I'm okay with my side, I can always be bigger. It is kind of like, you know, if I was getting like put down like that, I'd be like, well, okay. I would just feel bad.
So like those scenes have to come with a lot of trust. Like my boyfriend and I have been together for 6 years. So it took us a long time for me to be comfortable with that, but I was the one asking for it. It takes trust to be able to get into that kind of a headspace and then come out of it and realize it's role play, right? Like they didn't mean the things that they said. And so in that way, like getting into those spaces and even like using your insecurities as fuel for it can help you, I guess, process trauma and body image insecurities and things, or at least it has for me, it doesn't faze me. Like, okay.
More so for me, it was more so like, because like it was just her talking to the camera. Mm-hmm. It wasn't someone else in the room, so it was just them watching her just sit there and talk, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And like, and then when it came to urination, like I knew it was a thing, mm-hmm. but until I seen somebody ask, like I've actually seen a girl. This is my first time seeing it. A girl asked a dude like, hey, do you want to piss on me? And it was like, and recorded, and I'm like, we're leaving a building, me, her, the dude, and a few other people. We're leaving, and she said, and she asked the dude, he's like, sure. And they look at me, and like, and it was like, Raw, can you record it? And I'm like, okay.
All right.
And like, I'm more so sitting there recording it, but like, I know the camera's on, his member in her face, whatever. But my mind is more so on looking down at my feet because I know we're outside. And I'm like, please, P, don't hit my foot. So I'm more so looking at my feet, like, oh my God, please don't hit my foot.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It didn't hit my foot, but it was just like, and the thing is, like, it just threw me off because she requested it randomly. And then yeah. I've seen her do a lot worse things, but like, and then like the very next week, I seen some other people, I'm like, what? Like, and then right after that, we had, I don't know if you met Scotty P yet. He came on the podcast right after that. And then he was talking about the joys of peeing on people. And I'm like, boom. Like,
okay. I know, right? Like, there were things at the beginning of my relationship with my boyfriend. Like, he had me fill out the survey of, like, all these things, if whether I was interested in them or not, mm-hmm. and how interested I was. And it was a really thorough survey. It was really interesting. And, like, looking back at that versus, like, what I do today is absolutely hilarious because all my no's are, like, yes pleases now.
Like, you filled out that thing for that measures your BDSM website. It just says, like, how high you are on, like, voyeurism and stuff like that.
So it wasn't that one. It was actually like a form you could fill out. So it had different kind of kinks and fetishes. Like, it was like, do you like sounding? Are you interested in bondage? Do you like rope? And then on a scale of 1 to 5, how much? And would you ever try this again? And then like a set for notes.
Aww,
so it was really designed for like DS relationships that were new. So the Dom could get a handle on like what things he could actually do. So it was helpful.
Yeah, because I took the test before, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I knew what my number one was going to be number one, but some of the other ones were just, it caught me off guard just via the survey, whatever. Because I knew voyeurism was going to be, you know, the number one on the list, no matter. Yeah. Like, I knew that going into it, but like I knew like my 2, 3, and like my 2 was rope bunny, mm-hmm. And then it was misogynist and then submissive, and then brat was after that, and I'm like, am I a brat?
You have to like reevaluate.
I was like outside of everything, because I knew, like, you know, being someone master was going to be like the very bottom, and being a hunter was going to be at the bottom, but mm-hmm. as far like pet, it was like this one called pet. It was above 25%, and I'm like,
pet? Yeah, like pet play.
No, like be, acting like a dog and like being,
yeah,
like, it's like
puppy play, yeah.
Like that was up higher than I'm comfortable with admitting. It was above 25%.
Yeah,
it's just like, am I really into that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there are things that I was like, there's no way I will ever do this, and then I tried it and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I don't know, a lot of it goes into like your underlying desires and needs, you know, that you just don't realize until you try something. Like rimming for the longest time, I was like, that's so disgusting, I'm never gonna try that, I'm gonna get sick or something, blah blah blah. And I tried it and I was like, I have to do this all the time now.
I mean, I've always been a submissive. So it's always been something that I've accepted. And even though because of the injury, I can't do some of that stuff anymore, which sucks. Yeah. But it's just like a big part of me wishes I still could, because it excites me. And I've destroyed CW's image of me, of some of the stuff I've admitted that I'm into to mm-hmm. other guests. Yeah, that they he was prepared to hear about.
And it was funny.
I still think he's traumatized about, you know.
I mean, I don't. Hey, at least you know what you're into.
Yeah.
It's like, cause I read it like clothespins. I'm into clothespins.
I like those are good.
And like it's just something that you just want to think about, like clothespins, yeah. Like getting candle wax poured on you. Well, I didn't whip. It's like, yes, please, more.
And we have 3 whips in our closet right now.
See? I mean, like, that's, I keep these next to my bed, just like, this is my computer, but next to my bed, just in case.
Please, yeah.
Handcuff me. I don't want to move.
Did not know that.
You can get out of those.
Why do you think they sit there?
I didn't know they were there.
They big here. They're always here. Like even when I lived in other places, they were next. They were just there, just in arm reach. They're all like what? I have 2 pair. I have that one right there though. The other one's in the closet. Yeah. Yes. Now every time you come to my house and you just randomly sees the handcuffs, he's gonna say,
yeah. Our friends aren't surprised anymore. They come over and there's like a tentacle dildo sitting out, and they're like, okay. They're used to it.
See, I don't have toys here because it's only me here, so I have the stuff that I like people do to me here. So yeah. And I don't like you said rimming. I don't like people to touch my hole.
Okay.
So my hole is one of my you said nose, it's one of my H nose.
Yeah.
I like it.
See, CW likes that. Like I don't mind touching someone else's hole, but I'm not gonna like, please don't touch my hole.
Gotcha.
Like it's
or well, my everybody feet, has or, different limits.
Like, don't touch my holes or my feet and we good.
Yeah, no feet. No, none of that, please.
Okay, see, finally someone who's with me here.
Because my feet hurt all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm podophobic. So I have a real fear of feet.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, if it's, I know the 3 things that scares me that has
my phobias. I have a Freudian love of feet.
So I'm afraid of the dark, I'm afraid of feet, and I'm afraid of death. And like, and when I list those 3, they say, so how are you scared of feet? And I'm like, I don't know where it started, but feet scare the mess out of me. And if you touch me with your foot, it kills my entire sex drive.
Yeah, my boyfriend's the same way. He does not like feet. So yeah, if you ever wanna, you know, turn him off or make him stop, just put your foot in his face and he'll run away.
So me and your boyfriend Mike, we're here on that too. So
same page, yeah.
So but we have went over. But is there anything you want to tell your fans out there? Anybody new you want, like anybody who knew who's gonna come see this? Like, is there anything you want to tell them like about Ginger that we didn't get to?
I mean, we talked a lot about disability. We talked about horror. I don't know. I'm just excited about what's to come next. You know, my first shoot was absolutely amazing. I don't think I've even talked about it on my OnlyFans. I probably should, but
and it might not even come out now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I they might depending on the company, but I really doubt if it will be released now.
Yeah, I've talked to them a little bit today, but I haven't asked. It seems
inappropriate question. Yeah, I don't because like I have like yeah I really doubt it's gonna come out. It's not your fault. It could have been a bomb diggity scene, but given what happened, you know, because I still have to get over to the house and he used my what's that thing called, CW? Help me out, CW. You
pick I don't know up. What you
what did I take over there? Cooler. Use my cooler.
Yeah, my sunglasses and my earrings are still at his house too.
Yeah, so I was going to call like his roommate and get it eventually, but like you said, I can talk to him later and tell him your sunglasses and earrings.
So it's fine. figured they were a lost cause. I'm not going to get up in their business right now for sunglasses.
Oh, no. I always talk to his roommate all the time. So
okay.
I'll bring it up. Anyway,
it might not even
come out. So I hope whatever scene that comes after is just as good.
Yeah. I mean, it was honestly a really great intro. I was nervous going into it because I didn't know how to act on set. I didn't know like the proper etiquette or like anything. Just went in kind of blind. Like I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. Hopefully I do this correctly.
That's how it is for like that first maybe like 5 or 6 because yeah. Like especially if it's with different companies like Brazzers, Girls Way, Naughty America, all of them do Bang Bros. All of them do things differently on their right. sets. Or even if you do it with Dog Fart, they're all completely different scenery and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. you never know what to really expect. And then after those, it just becomes, oh, this is how it goes, okay. And yeah. with the entire, you know, we got to stop here for a second, pose.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entire, you know, we got to take pictures first.
Yeah.
So it takes a second to get a handle of. But after that, yeah. it's like elementary, my dear Watson.
Yeah. I mean, I think they saw that I was unsure because Jake pulled me aside and was kind of like, hey, look, this is how this is going to play out. You know, this will happen first and then this, and then we're going to sign paperwork and they'll take a lot of videos making sure that you're consenting and they're going to ask you weird questions. But, you know, if you don't want to answer something, just say it. Like, he walked me through basically every step of it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that.
I feel
that,
like I can handle it.
That consent part, whatever, is very important. I can say more about that off camera. But, like, because it's always, like, you know, people who get upset after, you know, sometimes. And it's always good for them to, you know, ask random questions, but it just keeps you safe and it keeps them safe at the same time. So
right, yeah, things.
So
but, yeah, they were all really nice and made me feel super comfortable. And it was funny because like they always shoot newbies, right? And when I got there, none of them had looked at my content, so like they didn't really know like what I had done already.
Uh-huh.
Which was a lot. And I get in there and they're like, okay, we can go at your pace. Like if he's going too hard, like just tell him to slow down, you know? And like, is deep throat okay? Like we're okay with only going like a little bit in. And I'm like, you have never watched my videos.
Well, I mean like some, you'd be surprised. There's some girls who've been around for a long time. And if a person, let's say as long as my, like, let's say for my head. So they would only accept my fingers and that's their end point. I'm not saying not saying that's why, I'm just imagine, you know, it's a long penis. So they would only go as far as my fingers and they won't like, take the whole thing in their vagina and or in their mouth or in their behind. Okay. So it's like they always have to make sure, like, you know, someone isn't going too hard, not going too far in, whatever. And, you know, because even if you watch someone who does a strap-on scene with somebody, like, if you pay attention, a girl sometimes will put her hand on the strap-on.
Yeah. Because,
like, even if it's a small, like, it's a small strap, sometimes they put their hand there because they don't want it all the way inside, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I set the pace. Like, we started out a little slow, and then I started sucking, and they were all like, they looked at me kind of crazy.
She got skills.
It was really funny. They were all just surprised, and then he started going, like, a lot harder, and which is what I was hoping for anyway. At one point, actually, my fake eyelash ended up on his back. Somehow. So that was entertaining. And after the scene, I had gone back to the hotel and I called my booking consultant, and he was like, yeah, they were like, it was hard for us to find anything she was new at. We'd never really filmed with someone who was so sexually experienced. It was really funny.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, I was thrilled. I was thrilled.
But yeah, like, honestly, I really, everybody out there, I want y'all to go out, check her out. Like, she, like as far as her personality goes, you've seen it come out. She's very fun, very exciting. She's very energetic, and she is just an all-around great human being. Just from the two times that we've actually spoken in audio forms, like, she's also always a great human being. So she has so much that she's going to offer. And if you wait after you watch this, go to her OnlyFans. As of right now, you can see all her content. She has an amazing figure. And
I've got over 1,000 different videos, so there's lots to see.
So you have different, and you have different stuff that you can look at, different poses, different actions, and different sceneries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm guaranteeing you that you would not be disappointed in anything that you see on there. So, Miss Ginger, can you please tell the wonderful people in the world where they can find your content? Where they can find you, like your social medias and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter as Ginger McKay XXX, and that is also my OnlyFans handle. You can find me on ManyVids as EOD Ginger McKay, and I'm also on Reddit as Effective Dominance.
Okay, CW, really quick.
I'm Instagram at CC Fitness LA, Twitter CC Fitness LA, Facebook CC Fitness, and CCFitnessLA.com.
Really quick, if you want to find us, we are the Burbank Misfits on Instagram, Burbank Misfits on Twitter and on Facebook, and BurbankMisfits.com. That says everything that we do, from, you know, fitness, website, editing, and all that. Everything under the sun. We do a lot of stuff. We like to have fun. And, you know, we do a lot of work. And for me, I am Raw Star, RAWSTARR on Twitter and on Instagram. Again, Miss Ginger, you are a joy and a pleasure. I really enjoy speaking to you. And I really, truly wish you all the best. And I really hope that you are a great benefit to those out there who do have disabilities, who are struggling with it. And they see you as a light to say, okay, if she can do it, I can do this. So I really hope that, you know, at the end of the day, even if they don't get into porn, they are acceptable of themselves and their body and their disability as they want to express their sexual revelations.
Yeah. Know?
So I really hope you are able to really achieve that. So,
yeah, thank you so much.
It was a joy and a pleasure. And we will see you all next week. I have no idea who we'll have on right now. It's written down, but I don't have it in front of me. So we'll see you all next week. Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.